entitled The Vision of a Prophet. The Bible is said very, very distinctly in many places in the New Testament, as well as the Old, that God calls men to be prophets. In Ephesians 4:11, the Bible said God hath called some apostles, some prophets. The Bible also in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. All right. That's very difficult to establish today among this old Laodicean church that we're living in the midst of. That is, generally, they don't want to accept prophets because prophets disturb you. They'll disturb you if you got sin in your life. They'll disturb you if you're not honest-hearted. They'll disturb you if you're full of rebellion against the Word of God. In fact, in Revelation 11, I believe it's tonight, or the 10th verse said, these prophets tormented the people that dwell on the earth. That's yet to come, but they're close at hand, those two prophets. They're here. They haven't been identified yet like the Antichrist and the false prophet haven't been identified. These unidentified flying objects are going to cause us more trouble and more pain, but yet more victory and more joy. These two on one hand and two on the other. It's a trinity on both hands. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And then the two prophets of Revelation and God himself backing them to the fullest. Amen. I mean, they are going to be masterpieces that God has prepared for the finest hour of humanity. It's going to be the most troublesome time, Jesus said, since the world began. But so what? Our finest hour will be when the darkness spiritually is the greatest and trouble is more rife than any time in history. The Bible said, we'll arise and shine, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon us. And kings and Gentiles will come to our shining. Why, light, you don't see light good till it gets dark. We can have all these campus lights on now, these security lights on, and you'd pay very little attention or no attention to them. But as soon as the sun goes down, in about an hour, you'd be looking at those lights and observing them very carefully. And the Bible tells us that God has called us, fashioned us on an eternal scale, fashioned us to be partners with him in a great ministry of deliverance here in this end time. Man was fashioned on the order of eternal things. Yes. We were not made that in sin our soul should rust and God's purpose forever miss. We were not made to be buried in the dust, but to rise to the heights of bliss. We were made for God himself and for him to ever be. We were not made for the trifling things of time, but made for eternity. God made us to be partners with himself in the mission and responsibility of a great deliverance revival here in this end time. When men and women will be delivered, not just saved. I like what Peter said in Acts 2, that they that call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. But I like what the prophet said in Joel 2, in the last verse, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Jerusalem and in Mount Zion shall be deliverance to the remnant whom God hath called. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, in Ezekiel 7, beginning in verse 25, destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet. They're going to seek the prophet with a vision. For where there is no vision, the people perish. But the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. There's coming a time, and it's coming very swiftly, that men and women that have rejected the ministry of a prophet are going to begin to respect it. Respect must come back to the ministers in the church, and ministers of God must be manifested and qualified to fill the positions that they claim to fill the office of in the body of Jesus Christ. There's too many claims and not enough real qualifications. My God, help us to qualify as men of God for the position that we claim to hold in the body of Christ. There are many members in the body of Christ, but every member hath not the same office. We have different offices in the body of Jesus Christ. There's the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, but there's also the helps. The helps. A despised gift from God is being a help to a man of God. What in the world do you think you're called to be a help for? You can't help God without helping a man of God. Just around and say, well, I'm a helper. Well, who you helping? You help men of God. God looks for men to fill the places and offices of responsibility in the body of Jesus Christ. He's looking for men. And he'll even use women as helpers. Praise God. What a glorious and wonderful gift to be a helper to a man of God. Matthew 10:41, Jesus said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What do you bellyache about? Why do you want to get around and act nonchalant or nondescript? Why do you want to act non-relevant or non-important to the body of Jesus Christ when God has called you to a high and holy calling? Something outside and beyond yourself. Back in the Old Testament, they had an insurrection against the leadership and authority of Moses. Here come Dathan, Abiram, and even his old sister Miriam got in the act. Lord have mercy. Moses, you take upon you too much authority. We're all holy. We're members of the congregation just like you are, and we're all holy. Who do you think you are? Lord had to take hand in that rebellion, declare the responsibilities and the authorities that he placed in that church in the wilderness. That church in the wilderness was organized. Anything's not organized is disorganized, and it's not qualified for the Holy Ghost approval to be upon it. Anything that's not organized is anarchy. I don't care if it's a home, a school, or a church. It may not belong to an organization, but it's got to be organized. You've got to have authority. You've got to delegate responsibility. And there has to be diversities of offices and gifts to edify the body of Jesus Christ. God never put one ministry in the church to do all the glorification and edification and get all the honor. He said there's five ministries. And then there's helps. And then the Apostle Paul explained in that beautiful chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, he said, hey, these here members of the body that seem to be less honorable have taken on the greater commonness. Hey, they don't seem very important. You folks may not feel important sometime, but I'll tell you one thing. You go home, look in the mirror, and you say, hey, Jesus, you said if I would receive a prophet, that means that I would accept his message and authority, and I would support him, that I would have a prophet's reward. Well, you're not going to squeeze in the minister of a prophet into that office because you want it in there. God does not let organizations or individuals make the choice. God himself makes the choice. And God makes a man manifestly qualified publicly. Manifest means apparent to the five senses. Means obvious. Means something that's proved. And the Lord never calls somebody until he has proved them, by the way. Amen. I told Brother Hodge, Brother Brown, he says, hey, I'm your son Timothy. Brother Hodge says, I'm going to be too. Brother Brown says, wait a minute now, he ain't proved himself like I have. You're right. There's a proving. Everything God does for you and I, we have to prove it to him that we're trustworthy. And we have to prove it to his people that we are faithful and we are not exalted because God has done something for us. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said, you received it from the Lord, and why do you act like you didn't receive it? My God, if the Lord did something for us, then get out and let God test you. You're called, you may not be chosen yet, and you haven't proven to be faithful. There's a line, there's a genealogical procession that must evolve in your life before God accepts you. Lord calls us. That's one thing. I've had many preachers walk up to me and said, brother, I'm just as called as you are. I said, I don't doubt it. What I'm doubting is,